Hey friends, on this week's episode of Evolve, I'm going to bring you an oldie but goodie. We were kind of thumbing through some of our old video footage and we realized that a couple of years ago we had the one and only Mel Robbins at one of our events and we never released that footage. So we're going to release it this week. If you've never heard of Mel Robbins, she has her own show on national television. She is a genius at getting you to step up, step out, and actually take action. So if you've been having a difficult time taking action, this is the show that could change your life forever. Listen, enjoy this week's episode. And if you like it, don't forget, leave us a little like and comment, especially on YouTube or whatever podcast you listen on. Take care and enjoy the episode.
I'm planning on pushing you today. I am planning on making sure that whatever vision he has inspired you to write down, that we are going to wipe out all the stupid, annoying bullshit excuses yes. that are in your way today. Woo! So I have asked Danny, because I need to kind of like rest my voice while he asks me a question, to help me by asking questions. But as we're talking, I want you to be thinking. I want you to be really selfish because we're going to open this up to questions and we're going to coach you. And I want you to think very clearly about what is the thing that's in your way? What is the thing that's in each and every one of your ways to getting what you want? Because whatever it was that made you achieve what you achieved last year, this is a new year. This is a new chapter and it starts right here. That's why you're here. Am I right? So there is something that's in your way. The person that you were last year is not going to deliver you the results that you want this year. I am in the exact same boat, you guys. The woman that ran a multi-million dollar speaking business is not the same woman that will build a multi-million dollar media empire. It's going to take a different level of effort, different skills. It's going to require something of me. What is the thing that you're up to going to require of you, Danny? And then I'm going to confess what I need to like go to work on. What do you need to go to work on?
I think my life view needs to be enhanced even more. I need to step out of my comfort level like I never have before. I need to go all in 100%.
Where are you holding back?
Right now, I'm not, to be honest with you.
Okay, yeah. That's pretty good. So if your vision is amazing, right? So tell me a little bit about what you're going to create in 2018. Let's put Danny on the spot. Don't you like this?
No, absolutely. Shit, I wasn't expecting this.
No, seriously, what are you going to create?
Well, look, by the end of the year, I want to be the number one known real estate brand for real estate coaching 1 year into the business.
Fantastic.
Where it took everybody else 12 or 40 years, I'm going to do it in 1 year.
Okay, now, hold on. Here's takeaway number one. It's very easy to create a vision. The hard thing is quantifying it. So how will we know that you are the number one brand? Who has hired you or how many students do you have? How will you measure that? So you have to be able to measure what you're doing.
I watch it every single day. I know who the competition is. I know what the target is. It's the numbers.
Okay.
The numbers of following and engagement on social media. That's what I'm focused
on. Okay, terrific. So give me one number that I can hold you accountable to.
150,000.
150,000 on Instagram?
On Facebook.
On Facebook?
By the end of the year.
Oh, shit. We can do that by next month.
Okay, good.
What are you talking about? Wait, but you're talking about actual people, not people you buy.
Not
there
not
are
bullshit.
Plenty of people out there that buy people that's not real.
No robots. No, nothing.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay, so 100. Well, I think that you could actually do that by June.
Okay, good.
What is it that you have to change about you to get there? Like, what's the thing that you, and I'm going to tell you mine to give you time to think.
Okay.
So the thing that I need to change, because we have launched a publishing imprint, we have a new talk show launching with Audible and Amazon that releases May 8th. We're launching a new book. We are now reaching almost 20 million people a month on social media. I want it to be 50 million people. The thing that I have to deal with is I got to stop drinking during the week. No, I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. It's not, and luckily it's East Coast time, so when like 9 o'clock hits here, it's actually midnight, and Friday's technically the weekend, so I can have a margarita before I get on the plane. But I've got to stop drinking in the middle of the week, because drinking for me, what I started to notice, became my like reward after working all day, and it allowed me to peace out. And there's an edge that I'm losing during the week because of it, okay? So that's one thing, and that's a hard thing for me to admit. The second thing I got to do this year, because I want you thinking about what you're going to do, because we're gonna plow through your excuses. The second thing that I've got to do is I've got to stop saying yes to bullshit deals that I'm not excited about. So I have a habit of being afraid of disappointing people. I also have had a habit of feeling scarcity in business. And so I say yes, 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 yes. And then I get pissed off and resentful about the deals that I have. You have clients like that, right?
Yeah.
And so that is a big thing for me. If I'm not excited about the deal, it's a no. So what's one thing that you need to do?
Yeah.
The gap that we're going to close, because we're going to talk about this gap that you're going to close this year, you guys.
Yeah, I need to get over that's not me.
What does that mean?
So, you know, on Instagram, on social media, if it's not a part of my comfort level, uh-huh. I won't post it, or I'll have a hard time posting it, because I'm concerned with what people will think. I'm concerned with people thinking that I'm trying to show off or whatever the case may be, and I need to change that to maybe it could be inspiring somebody. It's a different view.
Yeah, and here's another view. Authenticity is what people want.
Yeah.
And so if you're showing people something and you're managing that people are going to think you're bragging, mm-hmm. you're not being authentic.
Yeah.
Because what I know about you is that you are so dedicated to helping people, and talking about what you're doing doesn't help. Showing people what you're doing is what we all need.
I love it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So as we talk a little bit, I want you to write down, what is the thing that you need to change? Because I'm going to tell you something. There's a gap in life. There's a gap between the world and your reaction. There's a gap between self-doubt and confidence. There's a gap between fear and courage. There's a gap between your vision and execution. And your entire life, your business, your goals, it gets defined by this gap. And this gap, it's only 5 seconds, baby. And that's good news, because we're going to show you today how we can close that gap. That you can feel all this stuff that's normal, like Danny feels, being worried about what people think. And you can control how you respond to that.
Hmm.
You can want a drink on a Wednesday night because you had a hard day or you closed a big deal, and that's what you always do. And you can still choose not to do it if you know how to close the gap. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Because every excuse, everything that is robbing you of your happiness, of the money that you want, of the success that you want, of the confidence that you want, it lives inside that gap. Got it? Cool. All right. Shall we start?
Let's start.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, give it up. By the way, first question is, where'd you get those shoes?
Oh, so these are my trademark, these little sparkle things here. And there's a funny story around it, and it's an important story in business. So when I first got into the speaking business, which was completely by mistake,
right?
I gave a TEDx talk like 6 years ago. If you ever want to see what it looks like to have a 21-minute long panic attack, watch my TED talk. At about minute one, you can start to see the neck rash coming on. It was the first speech I had ever given in my life. And when I first got into the speaking business, I thought, oh, well, you got to wear heels, and you got to wear the pencil skirt, and you got to look a certain way. And I did that for like a year. And then I was in Miami, and I gave a speech. And I went out on the main drag there in South Beach, and I saw these amazing glitter high tops. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I have to have those.
Awesome.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I don't know why. I didn't own anything like that. Bought them, pack up, I fly to Vegas. Now, I'm giving the biggest speech of my life. I get to Vegas. I, of course, meet some buddies and go out drinking, because it was a weeknight. I wake up. The tech check is like 8 o'clock in the morning. I crack open my suitcase. Now, in addition to having anxiety and mild dyslexia, I also have crazy ADHD. I've left my high heels in Miami in the hotel room, and I have a pair of Birkenstocks and glitter high tops with me, and that's it. And so I was backed into a corner, and I'm like, okay, well, clearly I'm not going to walk on stage in front of 8,000 people in Birkenstocks. So I wore the high tops and something interesting happened. I think the most important skill that you need to cultivate and that Danny is helping you cultivate is self-awareness. When you know thyself, you know what you're good at, you know what you're bad at. You know when you're on fire, you know when you're sucking wind. You know when a deal lights you up, you know when a deal gasses you. When you have self-awareness, you have the ultimate power. And so I had this defining moment where I walked on stage and I was wearing these glitter high tops, Danny, and I immediately felt connected to the audience. There was an immediate lean in. And prior to that, when I was wearing heels, it was taking the audience about 10 minutes to get to the point where they'd say, man, I'd have a beer with her. She's pretty cool.
Wow.
And so this collapsed it. And it demonstrated approachability. It demonstrated kind of quirkiness. It demonstrated creativity. And I think it's so important for each and every one of you, just like it's important for Danny when he hits the 150,000, which he's going to hit on Facebook June 1st.
Yep.
When he does that, it's going to be because he has the self-awareness. When he's about to post, remember the gap we talked about? And he's about to post something that's authentic for him. And all of a sudden the gap shows up and the gap starts going, uh-oh, what are people going to think? Mm. He closes the gap, he posts the thing. He's himself. That will always be your winning formula. There will never be another you. There's only one you. And that is your winning formula right there. And so however you can bring yourself to the table, however you can bring your values to the table, the way you do business to the table, that is the biggest differentiator in the world. And just like you heard Danny have the courage to tell you that he's even checking himself because he's worried. This guy that we all admired is worried about what people might think. We all suffer from it. But your self-awareness is the thing that's going to clue you into, oh, there it is. There it is. Like, I walked on stage, and I'm like, this is what it feels like to actually be present on a stage. Shit, I better not wear anything but sparkle shoes again.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go. I digress again.
I know. I love it. You know, you mentioned self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a lot of people, that's a difficult thing to connect with.
Yes.
To really look, because I think some people don't want to see what's there. Or they're afraid of it, or they're whatever, embarrassed of it. How do people get more connected with who they really are? What's the first step in how
to do great. That? So we're going to talk about the 5-second rule. And the reason why we're going to talk about the 5-second rule is because it's not only an incredible and annoying and stupid little tool that you can use to push yourself to do the things that will grow your business, it's also a direct line to your intuition. And I think that's one of the most powerful things about it. So will you hit this slide and pull this up? Oh, wait, go back one. So the 5-second rule, it's very simple. And for those of you that don't know the story, I'm going to make it really, really simple. I have a very similar story to Danny. About 10 years ago, my husband and I were about to lose it all. He had gone into the restaurant business. Talk about leverage. You were talking about leverage. You don't want the kind of leverage we had. We had leveraged everything. We were on the brink of losing everything because the restaurants were going under. I was unemployed. This was 2008. Did anyone else have a crappy year in 2008?
Yeah.
And, you know, I found myself in this position that I never thought. I couldn't get out of bed. Like the simplest thing. I couldn't get out of bed. The alarm would go off, and we talk about the gap, right? The alarm would go off, and I knew, just like all of you know, what you need to do to achieve that vision. And particularly with him as your coach, you're darn well going to know what to do. But you all know, I knew that I should get out of bed, but all of a sudden that gap was there. The alarm goes off. I start thinking about, oh my God, the liens on the house, the collections calls, the bankruptcy letters, Chris is sleeping on the couch, I'm drinking too much, I feel like a loser. How are we going to climb out of this? Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I'd hit the snooze button. And I developed this habit of hitting it every morning 3 or 4 times. And I want you to consider something. Everything that you're doing right now that doesn't serve your business, it's just a habit. If you're a chicken around networking and making the calls you need to make, you just have a habit of not making calls. That's it. Don't make it part of your identity. I had a habit, and we're going to get into the science of this, because when you can see it, it's mind-blowing how simple it is to break a habit and how dumb it is that we all get so stuck
up in it. Yeah.
All the time. Danny has a habit of worrying about how things are going to be perceived.
Not and all things.
Not all things, but on social media.
Well, when it comes to like flashy things. Or,
okay, you know. Got it. But there's something about showing the flashy things
right.
that is part of your brand.
Yeah.
And there's also something about showing it that is you owning your success and celebrating it.
Fair enough, yeah.
You're not rubbing people's noses in it. You're actually showing people what's possible. You got it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, anyway, what happened is I was really stuck, you guys. I mean, I was hitting the snooze alarm. Then I'd go into the kitchen and bitch at my husband. Then I would avoid looking for a job all day. Then I would snap at the kids. Then I would start drinking. Like, it was a gigantic mess. And I thought, for sure, there's no way that anything's going to fix this. And one night, I had this epiphany. It's really stupid. But I saw a rocket ship launching on a commercial, and I thought, oh, my God, that's the answer. If in 5 seconds flat, I can move from knowing I need to get out of bed to hitting the snooze alarm, maybe if I move faster, I could close the gap. Maybe if I launched myself out of bed like a rocket ship, I could beat self-doubt. I could beat anxiety. I could beat all the BS that's in my head. So the next morning, I used this stupid thing that I call I started calling it the 5 second rule. Here's how it works. The moment you have an instinct that you should do something, and you have them all day long. And so the original question was, how do you tune into your instincts? They are screaming at you all the time. All the time. You know what I'm talking about. You walk into a room, you see somebody that, for whatever reason, you're sort of like, okay, I should, and then you start talking yourself out of going over and saying hello. You see the phone. You have 15 phone calls you need to make. Do you pick up the phone? No. The gap begins. And you talk yourself out of it. So I counted backwards, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then all of a sudden I stood up. And it was the strangest thing. I thought for a minute, am I like some witch? Like, what the hell's going on? Like a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And so I used it 3 mornings in a row. And then I thought, I'm going to put this thing to the test. And I said, if I find myself in a situation where I know what I should do, but I don't feel like it, how many of you feel like making cold calls? No one. They suck. You still have to do it, right? How many of you feel like being nice to your partner or your spouse when you're mad, right? Not very often, but you should do it. So I started using this technique. I'd walk into the kitchen and I'd see Chris and I'd want to strangle him and I'd go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All of a sudden I have like control. I'd see the phone and I knew I needed to start looking for a job, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I'm picking it up. I'd see my sneakers and I knew I needed to go for a run. He's got you rating your health for crying out loud. You know you need to exercise. You know it's part of being successful in business, taking care of your body. Right. You don't feel like doing it though. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out the door. I realized after about 2 weeks, I had discovered this insanely cool tool that helps you close the gap, that helps you manage your reaction. So no matter what life throws you, no matter what upset you're dealing with, no matter what your feelings say, you can use this stupid 5 second rule, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and actually close the gap and gain control. Now, I never intended to tell anybody about this because it sounds super stupid. Oh, you guys want to grow your business? Just count to 5. You're good. The other reason why, you know, I didn't want to tell anybody is I'm a little competitive. And I was still in the stage where I was stingy, too.
It's your secret, right?
Yeah. It's my thing. I don't want you guys to have it. I'm making lots of money. I'm like a shark when I negotiate because I never let my emotions get in control. And so, I started kind of sharing it. It spread like wildfire. Let me tell you a couple things about it, and then I want to show you some science behind it. Don't count up. It won't work. I'm dead serious. Have you ever gone to the gym, and you're doing reps, and you count up, and you're like, 1, 2, 3, God, this is heavy. I don't think I want to do this. 6, okay, I'm done. When you count backwards, it requires focus. What I had actually discovered, and what I'm going to show you in a second, is that as stupid as this thing sounds, you guys, this is a form of metacognition. That's a fancy word that means mind trick. It's a cheat code for your brain. Your brain fights you on changing. That gap we're talking about between your instincts in business and in life and the self-doubt and anxiety that creeps in to shut it down, that becomes a habit. And it gets stored right here in this part of your brain. And it becomes automatic. And that's why I'm going to tell you over and over when we start coaching you that the things you're struggling with aren't your identity. It's just patterns of behavior. And we're going to break them. And when you count backwards, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, what you're actually doing is you're moving from this part of the brain to this part, the prefrontal cortex. This puppy right here is what is awake and active on an MRI when you're selling, when you're acting with courage, when you're learning anything new. So this stupid thing that I invented actually turns off the part of the brain that fights you every day. And it awakens the part of the brain that makes courage and confidence easy. Let's go to the next slide. So check this out. In the red part, that's where procrastination, anxiety, fear, all the BS that's keeping you stuck, guys. That's the red part. That's your basal ganglia. That's where your habits are stored. That's where all patterns are stored. The green part's the prefrontal cortex. Let's count backwards together. Go ahead and hit it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What you're actually doing is you're awakening the prefrontal cortex. Now, if you felt pressure here, we did not put a spell on you. That's very common. We hear that a lot because you're shifting which part of the brain you're using. Okay? Very, very interesting. Let me show you something else. This has got a lot of builds. So here's the other thing about habits. So habits get formed in loops. So let's say that you decide that you're going to go after bigger properties this year, or you're going to step into a different type of real estate, right? And you have this fear of failing. That's normal. You're doing something new, perfectly normal to feel that way. It can become a choice. I mean, it can become a habit to stay that way because feeling afraid, it can trigger you to think. And then what happens when you start to think too much? Boom, you doubt yourself. And it becomes this loop that you get stuck in, and then suddenly you're sitting there thinking about it, right? Same thing happens when you're nervous. Start thinking, and then you doubt yourself. Same thing happens when you feel unsure. Same thing happens when you feel like a fake. Same thing happens when you're overwhelmed. Same thing happens when you are afraid you're going to get rejected, so you don't walk up to somebody and talk to them about potentially having their listing. Over and over and over. What you're looking at is what scientists call a habit loop. This is what gets encoded in the interior part of your brain. So I want you guys to understand something. You're not a worrier. You have a habit of worrying. Big difference. You're not a procrastinator. You have a habit of procrastinating. Big difference. You're not afraid. You have a habit of letting fear stop you. Big difference. There's only one way scientifically to change a habit. We have to sneak into the loop, replace the behavior. Because the truth is, you guys, you're never, ever, ever, ever going to get rid of the shit that triggers you. There will always be people that make you feel insecure. There will always be deals that make you feel like an imposter. There will always be this sense of rejection the more you put yourself out there. That's not going away, so stop worrying about it. Remember how I said stop worrying about money? Same thing here. Stop worrying about that stuff. That stuff is coming at you, particularly the bigger that you get. Feeling all of it's normal. Letting it stop you is a choice. This is where the 5-second rule comes in. What we're going to teach you to do is instead of stopping to think, Danny and I are going to teach you that your automatic response is take action. And the fastest way to do it is 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Because the second you start counting backwards, you not only have made a choice that you're moving, but you've also switched gears in your brain. And something super cool happens. The more that you 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 every time you're afraid, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 every time you're nervous about rejection, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and just try. You start training yourself to be the kind of person that takes action no matter what. And what happens, and this is all based in science, is that as you see yourself trying, as you see yourself learning, as you see yourself being the kind of person that's afraid but does it anyway, that's how you build confidence.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
The story gets replaced with a new story.
Correct.
Self-belief.
Yes, and I want you to hear from some people that have been using the 5-second rule, and then we'll kind of get into some coaching and some more questions. And pay attention because, again, I don't want to teach you how to remove triggers. I want to teach you how to stomp through them. Because self-awareness is about, ooh, that triggers me. You know what? For the rest of my life, every Wednesday at 5 o'clock, I'm going to want a Manhattan. It's happening. It's going to happen. It's a habit. It's stored here. But I can 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, make a different choice. You know what I'm saying? I can get irritated if I am in a business negotiation, if I don't like the way that it's going. That's normal. But letting that irritation control how I then conduct myself as a business person, that is a choice that I'm not making. I go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I turn this puppy on, and I'm back in the game. Listen to this guy right here, who happens to be actually, he needs to be at this event. He's in the real estate business in Chicago. I'll make sure he knows about this.
Okay, cool. Not only has 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 helped me overcome an addiction to the snooze button, but it's also helped me to stay sober and away from substances, even in finding out that my grandma's cancer was back this weekend, where normally that would send me into a spiral to make some choices that were not in my best interest. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm able to stay strong for my family, keep my career going, and continue the good progress I've made after 3.5 years sober.
Wow, that's awesome.
So a couple more things, and then I'll show you. So for example, a lot of you are going to start using it 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 to get to the gym because let's face it, exercising is annoying, right? And
tomorrow morning, this morning we had 150 of them out there. At 5
you did? O'clock. Oh my gosh.
Tomorrow morning I want to have 300 of them.
Oh, see, now you're all going to hate me because you're going to literally wake up. You want to talk about how do you listen to your instincts? You're going to wake up and the first thing you're going to think is, oh shit, I'm supposed to be downstairs. That's your intuition nudging you. And then you have a choice because the gap is going to begin.
Right.
And the gap is, does your greatness choose to show up 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and get downstairs? Or do your feelings about it win?
Yeah.
And letting your feelings decide what you do will not make your dreams come true. Hmm. Now, this guy right here, Keith Pike, he needs to be here too. He learned about the 5-second rule when he first started in the real estate business. 18 months later, in little old Arkansas, as he says, he's got 50 agents and 3 offices. Why? Well, when you 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and can close the gap between hesitation and action, mm-hmm. self-doubt and moving forward, now you are unstoppable. You know, you're going to use this in business nonstop because you're going to start to see the BS. You're going to see the gap everywhere. Oh my God, there it is again. I'm looking at cat videos on Facebook instead of actually getting out there and networking.
Or pimple popping.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife loves, you guys love pimple popping? Stephanie and my
Yeah. And this one really, I wanna underscore this. So we all suffer from anxiety the moment before we're about to send an email related to business. And it's not just you and me. I was speaking at a Fortune 10 company. And the head of one of their business units, after hearing the presentation on the 5-second rule, came up to me and said, oh my God, I'm just like Muhammad. I have a email that I need to send to another Fortune 10 company about our contract that's coming up, and I've had anxiety about it for 3 weeks straight. It's not just you, it's not just me. The gap is there for all of us. But you have a choice. When you have a vision, which you do, and you have the world's best coach, which you do, and you are smart to know what you should be doing, now that you have the self-awareness and a tool, you can close the gap between that instinct that propels you forward to network, to make a phone right. call, to fire clients that drive you crazy and waste your time. Somebody won't let you set the listing price. Goodbye. Seriously, to actually have courage in what you're doing, to bring authenticity to it. I want you to think for a minute about what you need to change, because in just a second, I'm going to have you watch this. But in just a second, we're going to ask you, what is the thing that you're struggling with? And we're going to go to you, and we're going to help you push through it. But check this out. Oops, let me go back one. There we go.
Let's suppose that you were able every night to dream any dream you wanted to dream. Finally, you would dream where you are now. You would dream the dream of living the life that you are actually living today.
There is only one sensible thing to do with this empty existence, and that is fill it.
Live long and prosper.
Make somebody to look up to.
That's the $100 million question right there. You know what to do. Do you have the will to make yourself do it? It's not the what, it's not the why, it's how. How do you push yourself when you don't feel like it? How do you put the drink down? How do you have conversations that scare the hell out of you? How do you do it? How do you wake up a little bit earlier? How do you commit to having a coach when you're not sure that that's the right thing? How do you do this stuff? It's not about you. It's not about change. It's about having the will to push yourself and to close that gap. So who wants to go first? Who's struggling? Who's got something? Let's go.
Right,
okay.
There. We got a mic. Give him the mic.
Give him a round of applause, too.
Yes, for being first.
Definitely a 5-4-3-2-1.
Well done.
So I dial a lot. I do a lot of phone dials for prospecting. So the thing I struggle with is when the prospect gets a little tension and they get a little aggressive, I push back a lot. And I let them take over, and I just stop. So how do I get past that?
Great. Do you want to go first?
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What was the question?
What? Are you serious?
No, because I'm trying to get my phone. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, there. Okay. Well, hold on. What he was saying is, I got the question.
Oh, no, I need mine. Yeah.
So basically, what he was saying, are you good?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
okay.
Let's go.
So what he was saying is that he dials a lot.
Okay.
Prospects a lot.
Okay.
But what happens is when somebody's on the phone and they push back, he then starts to get off his game if somebody else gets aggressive.
Yeah.
Right? And so he loses his stride.
Yeah.
So before I jump in.
Yeah. So there's a meaning that you've attached to what it means to get pushback. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a simple way that what I use in order to kind of help me, everybody just pick up your hands real fast, like if you're boxing real fast. That's an objection. An objection is very just nothing more than a jab.
Yeah.
That's all it is a jab. The meaning you're giving it is that it's a knockout punch, right? And so what I like to do is I like to help people understand that when a jab comes, all you have to do is move to the left and come back and get right back in the game with another question. So if you remember that, kind of like the 5-4-3-2-1 rule, if you just move to the left and come back with another question, whatever the question that may be based off of what they ask, that's the quickest way to get right back in the game. And you'll find that if you do that, they will typically back down versus you being the one that backs down.
I have a question. What's your first name?
Shant.
Shant?
Shant. Yeah, Sean with a T.
Oh, cool, Shant. Okay, so is there a particular thing that people get aggressive about that hooks you?
You mean like a particular topic, or?
Yes.
It's just like if I'm like disturbing their day, or it's just, you know, why you're calling me, or the 20th realtor, just stuff like that.
Okay, so there's a couple things. Number one, he's absolutely right, because what's happening now is you're developing a pattern and a habit of actually always backing down when you hear a certain tone.
Yeah.
And so what I want you to do is you can use the 5-second rule to silently go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Don't count it to the person on the phone. They'll be like, what kind of psycho is this? Because what will happen is you will actually calm your body state down, and you won't get hooked emotionally. The other thing I would do working with Danny and other people in here is I would come up with your go-to mantras that you say, because what I heard is it's actually the same thing, that you get hooked when you feel like you're interrupting and bothering people.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us feel that way, right, when you're making a call, because we've been on the other end of that. So you need to come up with something that is your go-to that you say that... it's right there. It's right there. And you always know that you're actually going to use that. Okay?
Like now, going back at them or just something inside?
This comes, by the way, this is what it means to be self-aware. There is something that's on brand for you using Danny's selling skills and coaching skills that you develop that feels right for you in terms of what you say when you don't get hooked.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you have your line. It's about interrupting, because that's the thing that you're getting hooked on.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, one other general piece of advice I want to give you guys. This is as stupid as the 5-second rule, but it's as powerful. And this is new science from the Harvard Medical School. Came out about 9 months ago. Before you do any kind of calling or going into a meeting where you feel nervous, how many of you still feel nervous when you pick up the phone and start dialing? And also, do you sometimes, Sean, start feeling like, I'm going to get a person, it's 3 o'clock, they're going to be annoyed, you know, before you even start?
No, not when I start now. Now it's more after, like, the third person who's complained.
Okay, great. You're going to start then feeling nervous. Yeah. The fastest way to dismantle nerves is start saying to yourself, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to start talking to people. I'm so excited to even get, I'm so excited to interrupt people. This is going to be awesome. So excited to piss people off. Now, when you say you're excited, this is literally research proven at Harvard Medical School. What you're doing is you're giving your brain context for the nerves in your body. And so your brain goes, oh, he's not nervous about getting another jerk on the phone. He's actually excited about interrupting somebody. And what happens is no cortisol floods your mind. So you don't get hijacked. And in test after test after test, in standardized tests, in track meets, in singing competitions, kids that used, I'm excited, as a strategy to combat nerves perform better every time because they maintained functioning of their prefrontal cortex. Try it. It's stupid. It works. Who's next? Yes, right here.
Roya.
Hi.
Can we toss her the mic? Hang on, Roya. There you go.
So excited that I'm actually up and asking you a question. Although earlier everybody learned about how complacent I am, and now they're going to find out that, you know, for years, I've been procrastinating on so many levels.
Okay.
Been wanting to write books. I have so many ideas. None of them have come on paper. Ideas, projects for real estate that I can, you know, I have invented in my head and on paper, but never did anything with. And so my question to you is, how do I close that gap?
Yes.
Although I know about the 5-4-3-2-1, but really, what do I need to do? Who do I need to be in order for me to get all these projects off the ground?
It's a fabulous question. What's your first name? Roya?
Roya.
Okay, how many procrastinators are in the room? Raise your hand. And everybody else is just procrastinating on raising their hand. So, excellent question, and I'm about to change your life because this piece of research changed mine. Procrastination has nothing to do with work. I'm going to say that again. Procrastination has nothing to do with work. The people that write to us the most that struggle with procrastinating, PhD students, engineers, entrepreneurs, people that have a lot on their plate, that have a lot of things that they need to juggle, and that are analytical and thinkers by nature. Now, what you need to know about procrastination, and this is the part that will change your life, is that procrastination is a form of stress relief. What are you stressed about?
I want to get out of this business of real estate. I want to retire in the next 5 years, and I can't because I have not saved up. I have not gotten the money that I need to do that with.
Bingo, and it makes you upset, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many of you can relate to that? She said that, you know, what's stressing her out is she wants to retire. She hasn't saved up enough money. What's really stressing you out is finances and money and the fear that you have. What is your fear? Like, tell me the horrible thing that's going to happen.
Well, I won't have the lifestyle that I want to live.
Yeah, that you're not going to make it. And so what happens when you struggle with procrastinating, and thank you for being so honest. Thank you. Yes, give her a round of applause. And by the way, how many of you feel that way? Will you turn and look around, please, so you can see? See, what happens in life, you guys, is that there's shit that stresses you out. Maybe you feel the same way. I mean, we felt that way.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You carry around this dark cloud because you don't think you're going to make it. You're stressed about money all the time. Or maybe your mom's health is declining, and that really stresses you out. Or maybe your best friends are going through a divorce, or you're going through a divorce, and that really stresses you out. And so you walk around with this big-ass thing on your shoulders all the time. And then you walk into work, and you sit down, and you've got a list of phone calls to make, which requires your prefrontal cortex. And your prefrontal cortex looks at the list and is like, oh, my God, you want me to make 15 phone calls? I've been worried about the money all day. Can we just look at cat videos? I need a break. God. And next thing you know, 2 hours is gone. You've been online shopping. You've been looking at cat videos. And then, of course, you look at the 15 phone calls. You're like, I didn't make them. I didn't make them. I didn't make them. So the research on procrastination is undeniable. It's black and white. Number one, all of you that procrastinate, procrastination's not the issue, it's stress. You're procrastinating to give yourself a little break at work. It's sort of like taking a smoking break almost, you know? You're just taking a break. So number one, because you're all stressed out and procrastinators are very hard on yourselves, this is gonna sound super stupid, but you gotta forgive yourself. You have got to actually have a talk with yourself where you feel yourself starting to procrastinate. You go, look, you know, I really screwed up. I know I'm in a mess financially. I forgive myself. I'm just going to do the best that I can. So you have to address the thing that's underneath it.
No, that's a form of self-awareness also.
Yes.
That's exactly what
yes,
that is.
That was terrible. Give me
yeah,
a
that's okay.
One. Thank you. Okay. So that self-awareness of knowing, oh my God, here's that stress again about finances screwing me over and preventing me from doing the small things that will actually fix my finances. Second thing that you're going to do, procrastination's a habit, right? You get triggered by stress, the habit is to procrastinate. So when you get triggered by stress, your new habit is, oh, there's my stress again. I'm going to actually tell myself, okay, you've done the best you can. It's okay. We're going to do a little bit today. You're going to create what we call starting ritual. A starting ritual is something that pushes you to start. The best one on the planet, the 5-second rule. So you've said, okay, there's my stress again. I forgive myself. Now we're going to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I want you to only work for 5 minutes. That's it. 5 minutes. Make phone calls for 5 minutes. Here's what we know based on the research. 80% of you will keep going. The trick is starting. You see, I want to break the connection between the trigger, which is stress, and the response, which is procrastination. And whenever you feel stress, which is normal, you have a choice. Here's that gap. In 5 seconds flat, the habit of procrastinating and beating yourself up will take over. Or you can close the gap, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you can make a different choice. I'm just going to get started. I'm just going to be okay with where I'm at, and I'm just going to get started. Got it?
Yep.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, yes.
Roya, I want to share something with you. I've had the pleasure of working with you now for a little over a year in what we do, obviously. And it's kind of crazy. The way Mel is telling you, just so that you're aware of this, to start a new trigger and to take a new action, the previous you, the before right now you, I would literally hear you and feel you step back from it, right? And I think that that's what she's trying to share with you, is that if we can just get, you're taking an action step, whether you realize it or not, it's just in the wrong direction. If we can get you to just go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and go in the right direction, that's when, I know what you want. You want $1 million in the bank. You've been saying it forever.
And you can do it.
And you can do it, absolutely.
And here's the other, you won't do it beating yourself up.
Right.
It's not going to help. I mean, that's also a habit. I think one of the most important ways that you guys can start to use the 5-second rule is to police the bullshit you say in your head. If you're not thinking things that support your goals, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, mental bitch slap. And then we're going to like think about how exciting it's going to be when you see yourself in action, right?
Right.
And so, and it's the little stuff. We all want to think it's about these big changes. It's the little stuff. Some other things to think about is that time of day, environment, and the people around you are major triggers. So if you work in a place where people trigger you to procrastinate, go into a conference room. Go to a coffee shop for an hour. Get up an hour earlier and work in your home. Understand that you can actually make things easier for
right.
yourself.
Right.
Okay? Awesome. Awesome. All right, who's next? In the back.
Back there, back there. Let's go far back with the checkers. Can somebody help get the microphone back there? There you go. There you go.
Yeah. I want to know how I can use this rule to stay motivated for a long term. I do really good for 3 months. I get success. And then I go on vacation or I get distracted, and then I always start from scratch all over again. So I get to a point where I'm good and comfortable, but I have never broken that record of high level. How can I do that?
Okay, so it's an excellent question. Do you have something you want to say first?
I just remember the conversation I had with Angie?
Yes.
Go back to that conversation and then maybe see me after, and I'll help you with that a little bit, yeah?
Okay,
but go ahead.
Thank you.
Because so, it's the same thing.
So the thing that I would say is, remember the conversation? So I asked all of you, what's the thing that you need to change this year in order to achieve the business goals that you wanted? And for me, it was I cannot drink during the week because I peace out and I lose my edge. And it was also about business deals. And Danny's was about being too self-scrutinizing, not as authentic as he needs to be on social media because he's worried about being too flashy, right?
Right.
What is the thing that you need to change this year in order to take it to the next level? Because it sounds like you are and this isn't a bad thing, it's that you like things when they're kind of easy and on autopilot, don't we all? But there's an edge that's missing, right?
That's the thing that I'm unaware of. Like, I know what I want. I'm very self-motivated. I do what I'm supposed to do for a certain amount of time, but then my drive drops.
Okay.
I'm very high, and then I go very low. There's no medium.
That's normal. So here's the thing that I want you to understand. You don't need drive. Motivation doesn't exist. Stop waiting for it.
It hasn't been working, yeah.
No. Like the thing that was a real breakthrough for me, aside from the 5-second rule, is understanding that you should never wait to feel like it. That you're kind of waking up and expecting the drive to be there.
Yeah, I do
in
that.
In order to
go to the next level,
do what you need to do. And what I'm telling you is that life gets really easy when you realize that the drive is a complete fiction. It doesn't exist.
Okay.
That you can wake up and not feel motivated and still get out of bed and go. that you can wake up and say, shit, I've lost my drive, and 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and push yourself forward. And you can wake up and say, I don't feel like doing that again today, and 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and doing it. And I started making more money than I ever thought was possible when I stopped waiting to feel like doing the work. And what will happen is you'll become not motivated or driven. You'll become so inspired by the fact that no matter what, you wake up and you go to work. And that is like the coolest, most liberating thing in the world. And believe me, your feelings will catch up and you'll really feel unstoppable. But there's this little trick, everybody. And, you know, let me tell you a little bit of research about this. So there was a scientist in Brazil that researched people that had damage to the interior parts of the brain where we have feelings. And these poor folks couldn't feel a thing. So he researched these folks for a while, and he was really curious about how is it that a human being makes a decision? How do we decide what to do? And the curious thing about people without any feelings is they can't make a decision. If you ask somebody with no feelings whatsoever, what do you want for dinner? They go, I don't know. If you give them a choice, you can have steak, you can have salmon, you can have scrambled eggs. They look at all three and they go, I have no idea. I don't know what I want. The reason why is the way that you and I make every decision right now, until you become super self-aware, is you assess what's in front of you. Do I feel driven today or do I not? Do I work today or do I not? Do I go running or do I not? Do I sign up for the coaching or do I not? And then in a nanosecond, you subconsciously ask yourself this question, what do I feel like doing? And if you don't understand, which I didn't, for a long time. Like, I only discovered all this like 5 or 6 years ago, and boy, was it a game changer. That, holy cow, I'm stopping to ask my feelings about whether or not I'm going to show up at that meeting, about whether or not I'm going to say no to this deal, about whether or not I'm going to exercise or not drink or be nice to my husband or whatever it is. And when I realized, wait a minute, my feelings steer me wrong all the time. All the time. Because I always feel like being frustrated. I always feel like snapping at my husband. I always feel like having a drink. I always feel, you know what I'm saying? I always feel like, you know, online shopping instead of working. When you understand that you don't need drive, you need to choose. That is the power of your decision right there. And when you, 3 months from now, you're going to come out of here like you've just been shot on a rocket ship. And 3 months from now, when you wake up and you're like, oh, God, I just went on vacation. I'm, like, rocking it. I just don't feel like doing it. Go, oh, my God. This is exactly what that chick was talking about. This is the gap.
That's it.
I don't feel like it. But I can choose to do something different. The everybody that you guys admire and that I admire and Danny admires, they do one thing. They wake up every morning and they go to work, no matter what, no matter how they feel, period. And when you realize feeling tired is natural, letting it stop you is a choice, you win.
Wow.
Feeling doubt, right?
That was big.
It's natural, letting it stop you is a choice, you now win. Feeling unmotivated, natural, letting it stop you is a choice. You understand that you always have a choice. You get everything. Everything. You get to choose what you think. You get to choose what you do next. You get to choose how you react. It is the ultimate superpower. Thank you so much for asking that
question.
Thank
you. Thank you.
That was big.
Yeah, occasionally.
Yeah, very big.
Occasionally
yeah,
something good comes out. Yeah. Who's next? Come on. Yes, right here.
I think, yeah, you'll be next. Go ahead, Mila.
My name is Mella. My question is more kind of this internal struggle I have. I have a very successful real estate business. People come to me for advice and coaching. I offer that. They'll tell me, oh, you're so successful, this and that. But the image on the inside doesn't match the picture that's on the outside. And I struggle. You know, Danny has said to me before, you need to step into the destiny that you were born to have.
Uh-huh.
And we had that conversation about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I let it hold me back from truly being super successful, that I know I see the vision, but I just can't close the gap to get to the vision.
Who can relate to this? Yeah, great, great question. So when you are successful, but you still have a really disempowering internal conversation, how do you update that? Because the internal conversation is also a habit.
Okay.
So tell me a little bit more about what you say to yourself.
You know, I just say that I'm, you know, someone will say, oh, you did great at this, and I'll say, oh, you know, I downplay it, because I guess I was raised to be humble, and it also goes back to, you know, I've had this conversation with numerous people. You know, my father is an Italian immigrant, and he always says, oh, you make a lot of money, and he was successful, but he's never made $600,000 a year, and he has no idea that that's how much I make, and
right.
I don't have, I've never told him that.
Uh-huh.
And so it's that, you know,
how
I sometimes
is
think
being
it's the,
let me say something. How is being humble, because I don't think that's the word. Because being humble won't prevent you from making money. I think underneath humble is there's a, I don't deserve it. Or it's luck. And at some point, it's not going to continue. Do either one of those feel?
Oh, it's not going to continue, because I've been in real estate for 15 years.
And
2009, I hit the crash, and then had a bad divorce and a health crisis, and essentially at 52 years old in 2010, started from, essentially being flat out broke.
Is there an element of that you don't deserve this either? Or is it just that you live in the fear that you're going to lose it?
I think the fear of it will go away like that.
Okay. How many of you have that? Okay. One of the interesting things about being a human being is it seems as though your story doesn't date back, but a lot of us have defining moments when we're in like fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, and we create some little strategy to survive life that then we carry forward with us forever. And there's some element to what you're dealing with that I think dates way back.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what is it? Here we go. Let's go.
Oh, this is true. I was the third child in our family, and I heard for years that I was an unplanned pregnancy, and if back then my mom could have done something to not have baby number three, she wouldn't have had baby number three. But she also always said to me, you were the best mistake that ever happened.
Right.
And we were very close.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I've carried that with me for a long time.
You still do. Yeah. And so how many of you can relate to this story a little bit? Yeah. Go get your hand up. Don't, like, leave her standing there, for God's sakes. So one of the most powerful things about unearthing the way in which you speak to yourself is when we get to the heart of the way she actually does it, we now have self-awareness to move it to the side. Because the fact is, your mom did not want you. She did not want another pregnancy. I did not want my second child. I have told her that. I nearly died in childbirth with the first one. And when she came along, I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. But I love her. Just like your mom loves you. But you grabbed on to the, I don't deserve this, or I'm not enough, or I don't belong, right? And that is what's underneath the fear that you're going to lose it all. And it's an old story that doesn't serve you. So I'm going to explain how you can use the 5-second rule and some really amazing research around what we call anchor thoughts to rewire this thinking pattern. So who else has a thinking pattern that does not serve them? I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I can't do this. Okay, great. I suffered from anxiety I started having panic attacks when I was 19. I went on Zoloft at 21. I was on Zoloft for 2 decades. In fact, the only time I came off Zoloft was with our first daughter, and I had postpartum depression that was so bad that I couldn't be left alone with her. So when I talk about thinking patterns that are terrifying, I have lived that nightmare. Now, I have used the 5-second rule to cure myself of anxiety. I have not had a panic attack, an anxiety attack. I haven't been on meds in 5 years. Hell, I don't even worry about anything. And you don't have to either. When you start to understand that your thinking patterns are just patterns that get triggered, just like procrastination is a pattern that gets triggered, we now have the ability to change the pattern and put in something that serves you. So the first step is the self-awareness of what is the bullshit that you think that is no longer true that triggers you in a heartbeat, okay? I still have one that hooks me when I think I'm disappointing somebody. Very old pattern. I'm self-aware about it, but it's sneaky how it comes into business negotiations, right? So whenever you get triggered and you start to feel your thoughts drift, because they drift to here, don't they? Mm-hmm. You're in a meeting, you're kicking ass, and all of a sudden you get a text and you think, oh my God, I'm getting fired. Or this person hates me. Or you're thinking, I'm about to lose it all. Oh my gosh, like what is it? What are the things that you think throughout the day?
If I am up for a listing and I don't get a particular listing and I'm really hard on myself that I came in second place when
yeah.
I feel like I'm the best.
Yeah. Yeah, you are the best. You are. And so what I want you to do is I want you to go to war against this pattern. So when you notice your thoughts drifting, it's just a habit to beat yourself up, okay? When you notice yourself getting triggered and you start doing it, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you got to count to yourself in the beginning because we need to interrupt this part of the brain that's spinning all the negative stuff and awaken the prefrontal cortex. Once you hit one, your prefrontal cortex is like, all right, what am I thinking about? Give me a thought. Now we're going to insert an anchor thought. An anchor thought is a predetermined thought that makes you excited or happy. So in your case, given that this happens all the time in business, I want you to think about, give me a moment when you felt so proud of yourself and so excited, like the deal that you landed or the thing that you saw in your bank account or whatever it may have been.
Making $500,000.
Great. So describe the moment when you realized you made $500,000.
It's almost kind of surreal because it was just last year.
And, right.
You know, it's something, because going back to Danny's writing down, I make X per year. I can remember starting making, you know, I make $300,000 a year, you know. I make $500,000 a year, you know.
Okay, so and here's what we're going to do. You ready? So Danny, since you're part of this, momentum for her. I want you to tell her who she is. So this is going to be the anchor thought that you come to. I want you to tell her what she's capable of.
Number one, I think you are, I see you, and I see the pattern show up all the time. The first thing that I thought was, doesn't she see how much you've grown in the last 2 years? It's like, Mela, you literally choose to forget about the good stuff. And you have grown.
Because it's a habit.
It's a habit.
Tell her how much money you think she can make.
$1 million a year, without a shadow of a doubt, within the next 12 to 16 months, without a shadow of a doubt.
Great. No, okay, so what did he just say to you?
I'm going to make $1 million a year by 2019.
Great. And how does that make you feel?
Pretty damn good.
Okay, good. So here's what you're going to do. You feel yourself beating yourself up. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, mental bitch that. Think of Danny in this plaid coat here, looking sharp. And he's going, you're going to make $1 million. And you're feeling excited. This is how we're going to retrain your mind. Now, you may do this, guys, 27 times tomorrow. The keys to doing this is having a predetermined thought. Because once you go over here, you're going to be scrambling. You've got to have something you go to.
Right.
I used to be terrified of flying. I'm not afraid of flying at all anymore. But when I get on the plane to fly back to Boston late tonight, and we hit turbulence, my mind will go, oh shit. And then I'll go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And my anchor thought is walking in the front door and seeing the first person from my family there to greet me, the dog. Right? There's Amigo, woo! And my mind goes, oh, wait a minute. She's not terrified of dying. She's excited to get home. We can move on. Yeah. It's amazing how effective it is. And this is a habit you've had since you were little. So have a little compassion for yourself. It may take you 2.5, 3 weeks of doing this every day and going back to that vision of Danny being like, girl, come on, $1 million. Are you nuts?
Mama, and that wasn't like bullshit. I genuinely believe that. I see it. I just want to help you catch up to that.
And for those of you that need an anchor thought in business, see him.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, right over here. Do we have time for more?
Wait, well, hold on.
Okay,
Mella. How have you grown in the last 2 years? Give me two or three things, please. I need to hear you say it because I want to help you get unstuck from this. This is your go-to. So let's change that. How have you grown in the last 2 years?
I've taken a lot more risk in terms of the money I'm spending my business to market myself. I changed brokerage firms to move to upscale luxury. Bringing on a buyer's agent.
You started a team. How much has your income grown?
Oh, my income's grown tremendously.
Give me a number.
2 years ago, I was making $300,000. Last year, I grossed almost $600,000.
Where the hell was all that?
Well, this is the power of habits. So remember the slide that I showed you where there's the trigger and it triggers you to think. Everything in her life triggers her to think, and the thinking pattern that became a habit over time was self-defeating, was negative, was I don't belong, I'm not worthy, this is luck, this isn't real, right? And so that's why I want you to think about this as a habit, because I don't want you to get defeated. A habit's just a pattern. And we're going to break them apart. Mm-hmm. And for a pattern that's been that repeated so many decades, it's going to take a couple weeks for her to get fluid in catching it. Yeah. And realizing, I don't have to listen to this shit. I don't.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Over here.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Hello, Mel. I have let me just tell you my little story really quick. So I got accepted to get my master's last year, and I started my first quarter, and mid-quarter I realized that I was tired of being a student, and not saying that being a student is bad, it's just I've been in school for so long, and that's all I know, being a student, that was what I identified with, and I got sick and tired of being a student, and I talked with my husband, literally like 2 days before the year ended, I decided not to go back to school. So now I decided to work full-time with my husband in real estate. But now one of my fears that I shared with him when I made this decision was I don't want to lose my identity. I want to make sure that my goals and my visions are still, I still do what I need to do.
Okay.
At this point, I mean, it's only been a couple of weeks, but I feel lost now. Like, I'm very excited, but I still feel lost because I've let go of my identity as a student, and now starting or being a part of my husband's business makes me scared. And I just feel lost, and I don't know where to start.
How long were you a student? How many years?
So, a lot. I'm about to be 28, so, okay. And since I was 18, I'm in college, I don't even know how many years.
So, 10 do you
years.
Love school? Oh, I have a question. I have a legit question. Do you love school, or were you hiding in school?
Ooh.
Can I, wait.
I guess I've been hiding in school.
I'm just asking.
Can I add?
Yes, you can do whatever you want.
Because
this is your.
Because what you just said showed that you were hiding. You called it your husband's business. It's not your husband's business. It's your family's business. And that view of the business will always have you unsure of what to do next. As soon as you see yourself as an equal, you're going to have a responsibility in the business and a role in the business, and he will have a responsibility and a role in the business. And together, you are stronger than you are apart. But you can't look at it as I am now a part of my husband's business, because you're going to be lost there for a while. Both of you need to see it as your family's business. This is what you're creating for your family and for your future. And you have a great role to play in that, and so does he. And together, you're going to make something special. And does that make sense, guys? For the ladies in the room, I know that's very difficult for you. I am not who I am if Claudia's not around with me, supporting me, taking care of our kids, doing that. I'm not. My brother is not who he is. None of us men, nobody, whoever you are. So I think that you need to see yourself in a healthier perspective and see the value that you're going to bring to the business. It may be a different set of values. It may be a different set of strengths. That's what's going to make it special.
I want to hear from your husband. Let me tell you why. Because I will certainly give you some advice about the self-defeating thoughts that you're having and how you're doubting yourself. But this business will grow a hell of a lot faster if the way that your husband is talking about the business is exactly how Danny was describing, and that it is a family business, that you two are in this together. Mm-hmm. Because if his conversation is disempowering, it doesn't matter what the hell I tell you to do.
Oh, I honestly don't see that at all. My husband is freaking awesome.
Can I hear from him? Let's hear from him. Okay, so can you listen to him as he talks? So clear, like as your mind drifts to doubt, as he talks, and will you turn to her, please?
Sure.
And tell her why you want her in this business.
Let's go, Jose. Oh, he's one of the best. You're gonna love him.
So tell her why I want her in this business?
Yeah.
Sweetheart.
Yes.
First of all, I want to thank you for the decision you made. I know it was a very strong decision, a very hard decision for you. Yet I'm very thankful to God and thankful to you for agreeing to take this step together for our family. I know we don't have our kids yet, and I know what we want to create for them. And I know that together we'll get there sooner than if I do it on my own, or if you do it on your own. So I, without a shadow of a doubt, believe in you, and I tell you this every single day. I believe in the way you think. I believe in the way you do things. You're way faster than me in so many things. So you know that I believe in you. You know that I believe in us. And you know that we can do something amazing together. And I love you so much.
Yeah.
What I think you need to do, and then I'm going to give you guys some advice because my husband and I run one of our businesses together, and it is, how many family businesses do we have in here? It is a challenge. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt, but I've got a couple things I want to share with you. I think the thing that's going to make a big difference for you is if you actually apologize to him. Now listen to me. For being a jerk and doubting yourself and not accepting the support that he's been giving you. And I want you to promise him and promise yourself that you're gonna step it up and you're gonna throw everything you got into this for the sake of yourself, for him, and for your future. You got it? I wanna hear you say that to him.
I'm sorry for being a jerk.
And what can he expect of you? And what can you expect of you moving forward?
It's hard.
Start small. Start small. Baby step.
She's great at that.
You can expect more positivity because I have lacked that a lot. And more belief in myself because I've also lacked that too. And accepting that I'm no longer a student and that I am now we are business owners.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Really awesome. Well done.
And, you know, the other thing is like when you start catching yourself falling into the trap of self-doubt, which for you is a habit, and if you love being a student, you're analytical, so you probably overthink things by nature. Does that ring true a little bit?
Yeah, no, I do think
so. Just say to him, I'm falling into that trap. Help me get out of that trap. Like, you can have fun trying to change. It doesn't have to be so heavy. You can make fun of yourself. I'm calling my lifeline. I'm doing that doubt student thing. Why overthink? Kick me in the ass, honey. Here we go. So one of the things that I do want the two of you to consider doing, it's made a big difference for my husband and I, and we have a 18, 17, and 12-year-old, is that your entire life can become one gigantic ball of business and life, and oh my God, do we even have sex anymore together, and yikes. And when we started having a conversation, for us it's on Sunday night, where we take a look at the whole week together. And this is particularly true when we had kids. But if you take a look at the whole week and you do one conversation that's sort of looking across the whole week, okay, who's taking the dogs, what's doing this, and where are you on Thursday night, who's covering this thing? If you handle the logistics in one conversation, it tends to not dominate your relationship for the rest of the week. And you won't fall into the trap of being transactional and snarky with each other. It helps a lot. And if you do start to feel that thing that is real, where you get concerned that people are going to judge you, oh, because here comes my husband who's part of my business, and you're worried about what other people think, you two need to come up with your own kind of personal value statement for what are the three reasons why having a family business is the best kind of business to be in. So you don't get hooked by other people judging that, because it's a fact. There will be a point in time where you'll feel a little weird about that fact, even though we all know it's the most empowering way to build a business. So come up beforehand with the reasons why this is the greatest thing in the world for you two, for your values, and for business. You got it?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You tell me when you want to be done.
Well, anybody see how that was a little bit of a self-view thing that was going on there? Anybody else struggle with that? I think it's very, look at Claudia back there. Where is her head? I think it's really, really important that you guys understand that the language, I caught that right away. I saw her energy, her body, everything. She literally went like, my husband's business. You know, it was just kind of weird. And so just look at your own life, or maybe look at the relationship that you have with your spouse and maybe how you make them feel about the business and what's going on and so forth and so on. And I really think that if you work on that and help each other through that, you'll be much stronger than you are apart.
How many more you want to do? It's up to
one
you.
One more?
Totally up to you.
I see a hand back there. Who is that? Is that Darshika? Yeah? Somebody get her the mic. How are you doing?
I'm great.
Okay, good.
Oh, I could go all night.
All right, then well, let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go two more. Catch it. Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Sorry. Again, my name is Darshika. I'm from Washington, D.C. And I think, you know, what is getting in my way is confidence and, well, I have a couple questions. There's a couple things that are getting in my way. I do have twins. They're 2 years old. And I'm getting in the habit of, I try to work out every day. And I'm getting in the habit of, after I work out and they're at school, I'm getting in the habit of just being tired and taking a nap. And that totally gets me off schedule, and I feel so guilty about it. And I don't know how to change it, because physically, even when I take them to school, they're like, are you okay? Because you could tell on my face, I'm just tired. I don't know what to do about that, how to solve that problem. Is there anything that you could recommend that could help? I mean, besides getting enough sleep,
so
I know that
would
help.
Are you not getting enough sleep?
No, I'm not.
Why?
That's a whole long story, but the real reason is that they're still sleeping in our bedroom. So I do need to get them into their own bedrooms. Uh-huh. That's a part of it.
Well, so here's the interesting thing about change, okay? It will only happen if you want it to. And so the question I have for you is, do you really want to solve this problem right now? Or do you want to have a little bit more compassion for yourself and where you're at in life, and stop beating yourself up for the fact that you have twins and you need to take a nap, and maybe now in the next 4 to 5 months is not the time to be putting the pedal to the metal, because you've got to sort some other stuff out. See, because beating yourself up on all sides doesn't work. But if what serves you is, these kids need to be in their own room because I need to sleep, and this does not serve me anymore, and this is what I need to do, and I can see how it's impacting everything, and it now is something I want to change. See, I need to figure out, you need to figure out, do you want to change the fatigue, or do you want to change the fact that you beat yourself up over the fatigue? Do you see the difference?
I do see the difference. I think that I don't have enough time. I fear that my parents won't be here. I feel like my father, he's sick, and I feel like I need to hurry up and be successful for my family. So I really need to hurry up and make this happen this year.
Okay.
Because I feel like if my father passes away, he won't see the success. And so I have a lot on me, so I'm trying to be successful for them. I know it's going to come for them, but I really feel like I want to be a success for my parents, and especially my father. I want him to see what, it's almost like what Danny talks about. You want to have a legacy, and I'm that person, like, for my family, and I'm not really even doing that well.
So is your father going to die this year?
I feel like he may.
And what does he need to, remember when I asked Danny, how will you know if you've hit that goal? See, to me, it feels like there is so much.
Yes.
And it's so big, that when you get into a situation in life where it feels like there's so many things that you're trying to manage, being successful before your father dies, two-year-old twins,
kids,
like, that we need to shrink it down into smaller things, because the bigness of it is what becomes paralyzing.
Yes.
And so I suspect that your father already believes that you're a success. Mm-hmm. He does?
He does, yeah.
But what is it for you that you need to do in order for you to feel like you're the success that you want to be? Let's shrink it down to something as small as it could possibly be. What do you need to do?
I need to be consistent with what I do on a daily basis in my business.
Okay, great. So that's something that you're capable of doing. So the next question becomes, what changes do you need to make, or what single change do you need to make so that you could be consistent? Is it the twins sleeping in their own room?
No, not always. That just takes me off target sometimes. So.
Okay. So what is the one thing that you could change that would help you be consistent every day?
Following the my schedule that I intend
yes.
to do on a daily basis.
Yes. See, when there's so much going on in your life, you guys, and it's scary stuff, like losing a parent that you love, and you feel like time is ticking, that can hijack you every day. And it's why it's so important for you to just come back every single day to the one thing that you can do that demonstrates that you're in control and that you feel successful.
I felt when you told me to focus on that, because I went all, my mind just went, my father, my kids, I felt that.
Uh-huh.
So I'll take that.
And that's going to happen every day for you.
Yeah.
You're on a ride. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen. I do know you don't have to do it alone. And so one of the other things that I would do is I would certainly get more invested in this community or in your coach or whatever.
She signed up.
I already signed up.
Great.
Right.
So you will not be alone.
Yeah.
And I think that could be your mantra. You're going to, when you feel overwhelmed, you're going to come down to the one thing. But hold on, I want you to say this to yourself.
Yeah, because I'm
not
you too,
alone. So. I don't have to do this alone. I don't have to do this alone. So for you, it's two things. You feel overwhelmed, simplify to the one thing you're going to do today and remind yourself you don't have to do this alone.
Thank you.
And yeah, give her a round of applause, please. How many of you guys remember our friend Kobe? Do you remember the body language of Kobe when he was like put on the spot with a direct answer? Show me the body language. What was he doing? He was looking everywhere. Did you just see that same thing just happen with Darshika? She literally jumped from her kids to her dad. Darshika, I saw a habit of finding the reason why not and a habit of finding added pressure to yourself.
Wow.
If it wasn't your kids, you were going to find your dad. And if it wasn't your dad, you were going to find something else. And if it wasn't that, you were definitely going to find something else.
Mm.
Because even what's going to happen is even the one thing, if you don't do the one thing, you're going to beat yourself up about that. And that's a habit.
You're 100%.
It's a habit. Darshika, I want you to work hard on, and I want you to give me a reason of why you are amazing and why are you content and happy with who you are right now in this very moment. Give me one reason right now. Let's help her out. Hold on. What do you see? Brave, beautiful, strong, courageous, raising two twins, managing a business, doing it all at once, yes or no? Darshika, what do you, give me one thing that you're proud of. One thing.
Yes, I'm here.
You're here, there you go, give her a round of applause. It's so hard for her. You see that? No. Look what she's doing. She's Darshika, give me another thing that you're proud of. Do you know how faith-filled you are? Do you know that you're probably one of the most faith-filled people in this entire room right now? Do you know I haven't even mentioned the coaching program yet, and you signed up while running this morning because that's how much faith you have in yourself? Do you know that you did something that 1 out of 1,000 people maybe will do, is have the faith to invest in yourself? Do you know and realize that we've never even met before and you hopped on a plane in faith and you left those little boys and you came here to learn, to hopefully grow and provide a better life for them? I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on.
Thank you.
All of you, you need to learn to look for the reasons why you're okay loving yourself with exactly where you are right now. My mom died a year, 2 years, Eddie, how long has it been? 2 years ago. And you know what's so awesome? My mom never got to see this. But what is the meaning that I attach to that? Absolutely nothing. She's watching me right now. It's all good. Right. It's all good.
So true.
You cannot do that to yourself. You're torturing yourself. You cannot beat yourself over the fact that you take a nap. Take two naps. You got two kids. You deserve one for each of them.
I mean, right?
If you decide to do the one thing and the one thing doesn't work tomorrow, guess what? So what? Try it again the next day. Look for the positive instead of the negative. Your dad loves you exactly the way you are. You're successful right now because you're a mother who loves her boys, who's raising them, who's providing for your household. Whether he sees it now or he sees it when he's in heaven, doesn't matter. He's happy with who you are today, right now. Can I tell you the real challenge?
Yeah.
You need to be happy with who you are and where you are right freaking now.
Right.
Arshika, it's not the boys. She needs to apologize to the boys.
Huh.
Well, you, it's a boy and a girl,
boys.
But yeah.
Yeah, you
Darshika, it's not your dad.
Yeah.
You need to go apologize to your dad. If you told your dad that this is what you said, he would say, baby, how dare you put that much pressure
on
me?
What are you talking about?
I love
about?
You no matter what. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, he would.
Does this make sense?
Yeah.
You need to learn to be happy. Look at the positive. Look at what's great in your life. Look at what you should be grateful for. I'm telling you that. And if you just lock in on that and people, you stop beating yourselves up when things don't go as planned. Guess what? Just try it again the next day. It's no big deal.
You know, you said that you're on this race to be successful before he dies. I would rather you actually be on a mission to be happy.
Yeah.
So that he sees and experiences his daughter happy while he's here.
That was it.
Thank you.
You gotta cut it.
That's right. So,
who learned from that? Who has a little Darshika in them? Yeah? A little bit, right? Darshika, I want you to name that person, the negative one, right? Let's call her Negative Nancy, shall we? Uh-huh. Right? And then I want you to name the positive one, and I want you to build a better relationship with the positive one. And I want you to look for the positive one every chance that the negative one starts to show up. Because she's going to keep showing up. You just have a habit of not only letting her come into your house, but you sit her on your lap, you caress her, you give her a kiss, you feed her, you, right? Smack the bitch. Tell her to get the hell out of here. And make friends with the new one.
That's right.
The positive one. And start to give her a kiss and start to give her a hug and start to empower her and start to feed her. Because you have that power, my friend. You absolutely do.
Thank
give
you.
Her a round of applause,
thank
please.
You.